Chapter 25. Meeting with Bhagat Singh, the Great Patriot. At last the day came. It was 6 p.m. on 4th of October 1930. The news of my release was announced, and everyone was very happy about it. I was sitting in a blissful solitude within my cell. All the patriots rushed towards my cell to break the news to me and congratulate me. The first to come and congratulate me was Bhai Gajan Singh, Masterji. In a matter of minutes, other patriots gathered around me and read joyfully the orders of release. I was overwhelmed, not so much by the joy of release as by the separation I would have to bear from devoted friends like Bhai Kartar Singh of Canada. I was overwhelmed by these dual emotions of joy and sorrow when friends came to bid goodbye with loving embraces. The prison officials stood there, ready to carry out the order of my release, but my feet were reluctant to move away from such dear companions. I embraced every one of them, and after a few affectionate words with each of them, I left them with tears in their eyes. The stream separated from the river at last. When I went out of these prison wards, I met Muhammad Akbar near the central dome. He was smiling and coming towards me. On seeing me, he congratulated me for my release. Inattentive to his felicitations, I told him that it was time that he should fulfill his promise. He should not miss the chance. He smiled and said that he had already made arrangement for the meeting with Bhagat Singh. You could now meet him for a full 2 hours. I asked him if he had taken permission from the superintendent. The Daroga replied, "Before I found it necessary to ask him, the superintendent was already worried and puzzled, and was seeking a way out of a difficult situation. His worry is that you should be quietly released without giving any chance to outsiders to make much noise about your release. He asked me to find a way out of this difficulty. He said there are regular pickets of people outside who are waiting for the news of release of political prisoners. As soon as a political prisoner is released, the news spreads like fire, and there is great noise and hubbub of long processions, which are very disturbing to the government. The government has issued strict instructions that the release should be secret and quiet. You see people sitting near the prison gates in regular pickets till sunset, so you must make some arrangements to send Ranthir Singh out secretly and quietly, so that we may not be blamed for anything later on." At that very moment, I asked the superintendent not to worry, and suggested to him the plan, saying, "You remember, sir, the day Ranthir Singh came to this prison, Bhagat Singh, who has been sentenced to death, submitted an application for permission to meet him, but you rejected it. I believe that if we now allow him to meet Ranthir Singh, the meeting may take about 2 hours. It will be quite dark by then, and by 8 p.m. we will send Ranthir Singh out. Thus, strict secrecy about the release will be maintained." The superintendent was impressed by this suggestion and gladly issued orders to allow this meeting, "and you can talk freely as long as you like. I will now give you a warder who will guide you to Bhagat Singh." So saying, he sent a prison warder with me and ordered him to permit us to have an unrestricted meeting. Bhagat Singh was taking his daily stroll in the prison compound. He had been told about the permission granted for this meeting. On seeing me, he came running towards me. I was standing outside the fence of the courtyard. He came close to the fence and greeted me with great love and affection, bowing low out of reverence. I also folded my hands and greeted him warmly. The warder moved away when we were together. Even the policemen on duty in the compound kept away from us. We were all alone facing each other. Bhagat Singh was overwhelmed by the joy of meeting after months of anxious moments. The tears rolled down his eyes. I had hardly met anyone in life who had developed so deep affection and love even before coming into contact with me. It appeared we had known each other for a very long time. In a rapturous tone, he said, "Oh, I can hardly say how happy I am on having met you at last. Day and night, I was restlessly longing for just a short meeting with you. At last, the blessed moment has come, and my wishes have been fulfilled. After knowing all your great sacrifices and suffering in prison, I had become your keen admirer and passionate devotee. It was heroism of the great freedom fighters of 1914-15, like you, which inspired insignificant patriot like me. All our revolutionary exploits are nothing compared to the astounding heroic deeds performed by you and your companions. Your own life and struggle for freedom and rights especially impressed me. Munshi Manna Singh perhaps told you with what passionate longing I was thirsting to meet you and talk to you. I should say that my inner attachment and admiration for you brought you back to Lahore prison after 16 years. When I first sent a message to you within this prison that I was anxious to meet you, I received your divine command to keep the six symbols of the bear, the beard, and the hair. I'm prepared to abide by your wishes. I am really ashamed, and I am prepared to tell you frankly that I removed my hair and beard under pressing circumstances. It was for the service of the country that my companions compelled me to give up the Sikh appearance and disguise myself as a sannyasin. So it is in association with the irreligious people that I was compelled to show disrespect to my religious symbols. But now I will certainly do whatever you wish me to do. I was glad to see Bhagat Singh repentant and humble in his present attitude towards religious symbols. I was deeply impressed by his frank statements of fact, but I could not hesitate in expressing my inner feelings and said, "Brother Bhagat Singh, I am deeply touched by your love for me. I am also impressed by your spirit of service and patriotic zeal. But I must tell you, my dear brother, that your companions did not give you good advice. You seemed to be seeking something very petty, and you became a prey to the evil and mischievous suggestion of your companions. Compared to our times, the period in which you participated in the freedom struggle is a period of great awakening. You could fearlessly take part in the freedom struggle and serve your country and humanity as you wished. But you must be knowing that in our times, 1914 to 1915, few and rare souls felt inspired to dedicate their lives to the cause of freedom. In the Punjab, only a few Sikhs who could be counted on fingertips were politically awake, felt the patriotic fervor to fight for freedom. There was a great feeling in political opposition to the heroic Ghadar leaders and patriots who had come from Canada and America. Every child in the Punjab was opposed to them. I will give you only one example of the moral courage of the great patriotic of those days. Bhai Nidan Singh of Jugga village was a great patriot and fighter for freedom, who inspired hundreds of Indians living in foreign countries to come to India and dedicate their lives to the freedom struggle. He spent thousands of rupees from his own pocket for freedom struggle. And yet he did not disguise himself. He came openly by sea, but the government at once made elaborate arrangements to address him. He reached India along with his companions without being detected. He could not be arrested. He came to the Punjab and threw himself heart and soul in the freedom struggle. His heroic deeds for the cause of freedom must be known to you. Warrants for his arrest had been issued. His photograph was widely publicized and a price was set on his head. There was an all-out attempt to arrest him. He moved swiftly from one place to another, organizing the freedom struggle. There was no sympathy and support for these freedom fighters in the public. The patriots depended mostly on Bhai Nidan Singh for organization and inspiration. Of course, in fearlessness, there was none so daring as Kartar Singh Sarabha. One day, Kartar Singh Sarabha feared that Bhai Nidan Singh might be arrested. He was the key figure among the freedom fighters, and it was necessary that he should not be arrested soon. Keeping only the political interest in view, he suggested to Bhai Nidan Singh that he should dye his beard and thus change his publicized appearance to some extent. Bhai Nidhan Singh boldly answered that he would never do such a thing and tarnish and disgrace his heroism in the freedom fight. You can use me as best as you like, with this appearance only, and do not make any suggestions which would make me a coward, he said. His companions wanted him to fall a prey to their evil suggestions, but his determination remained unshaken. For organizing the freedom struggle, he traveled 20 to 30 miles a day, and sometimes fearlessly passed close by police posts. He performed such heroic deeds, compared to which your plans were insignificant. He did not even agree to change the color of his beard, while you went to the extent of removing your hair and your beard. Bhagat Singh replied, "Actually, I did not murder Saunders. I was, of course, accused of murdering him. I considered it a great heroic deed and took the credit for it. I confessed that I killed Saunders, whether there was any benefit in it or not. I nevertheless got the credit for the whole deed. Even otherwise, there was no escape for me." I tell him, "The ideal of a true patriot is never to seek such petty joys of empty credits. For the joy of getting worldly praise, you did not hesitate to fall from a high spiritual ideal of becoming an apostate from Sikhism. Nor did you ever repent over this fall from a much higher ideal. All that you have achieved by this wrong step is some trumpeting of your name and heroism by some papers. You gave up the Guru's personality for false glory and empty ambition. If you felt that you made a mistake, you should have repented and come back to the Khalsa ideal by maintaining a Sikh-like appearance again. Why did you not do it?" Bhagat Singh replied, "I might have kept the Sikh-like appearance again, but then I would have lost the friendship and sympathy of my comrades." B.K. Dutt. "Secondly, I would not have so much publicity as I am getting now. It is true that my sacrifices are insignificant compared to the sacrifices of the freedom fighters of 1914 and 1915. But after such astounding sacrifices, they did not get any publicity or praise in the papers. The Sikh papers had very limited circulation. Even they did not reveal all facts of the heroic deeds of patriots like you, because their timid policy prevented them from writing anything frankly. It is the non-Sikh papers which publicize my name widely, and it is through them that I have acquired all the glory associated with my name. It is a fact that if I had maintained the Sikh appearance, and if I had professed myself to be orthodox Sikh, and kept my hair and beard, the non-Sikh papers would not have written a word about me, just as they did not write a word about you and your companions. Even out of the Sikh papers, the Khalsa Akhbar, Lahore, and Urdu paper dare to write something about you. I know it for certain that Hindu papers are always reluctant to write even a piece of word in praise of Sikh patriots and freedom fighters. They do not like Sikhs being praised for anything. If I had kept my hair and beard again and become a Sikh, they would have started belittling me instead of praising me. So I hesitated to keep long hair and beard again." I tell him, "On judging what you have said, my dear Bhagat Singh, your ideal of patriotism is very low and frippery. To make such a show of patriotism and service to the country for personal glory is cheap chauvinism and vain jingoism. The patriots of the 1914 to 1915 movement suffered and served the country keeping only the selfless service of the motherland in view. They did not have the slightest thought of such cheap publicity and never even in a dream had any ambition of personal glory. It is only in the company of petty-minded and evil-motivated people that your mind was misled to such vain thoughts of personal glory. The seeking eminence through newspapers and honor and glory through propaganda are all superficial things about it which is rightly said in Guru Granth Sahib. Mad are those who trumpet a man's glory. Shameless is he who accepts such false fame. He is like a rat who is tied in a winnowing basket to his waist. He now finds it impossible even to get into this hole. On hearing this, Bhagat Singh was deeply moved and said, "The ideal of Sikhism is no doubt very high. The world in general hankers after empty glory only. I also drifted in the same passion for personal glory, but today I have realized that all these things are idle ambition of vanity, conceit, and self-glorification. I would have been fortunate if I had gotten the opportunity of living in close association with you for at least 3 or 4 months. If I had gotten this opportunity to live in your company for those 3-4 months, I would have gained much and all my shortcomings would have disappeared. Now, I will do whatever you ask me to do. You now want me to become a Kesatari Singh. I now admit that I made a great mistake. Even contrary to this healthy family tradition, I went against the Guru's instructions and showed irreverence to the Sikh symbols. But there is one more fact, and I would be committing a sin if I conceal it from you. I kept my hair and beard merely because there was long-standing tradition in our family to do so. I am very proud to be called a Sikh, but the fact is that I was never religious at heart. You will excuse me if I tell you in quite plain terms that at heart I am an atheist. I still do not believe in God. All my companions know it. With all that I am willing to do, anything you ask me to do, if you command me, I will keep my hair and beard. Alas, if only I had gotten the opportunity to stay near you a little longer, you would have changed my atheistic views." I tell him, "I am very happy that you have revealed the truth of your inner state of mind and have not concealed what is really in your heart. It is absolutely useless to keep religious symbols like hair and beard while you are an atheist at heart. Nor would I be proud of making you do such a thing. I am no more anxious about your coming back to Sikh forms, nor am I sorry that you do not have hair and beard. My only anxiety and wish now is that you should die with faith in God. You will definitely die on the scaffold. It would have been better if your atheism had disappeared before you faced the death sentence. Even though you are an atheist, remember one thing, that you will not die. Keep it engraved in your heart that you will not die. You will be born again. Your soul is immortal and ageless. It will never be destroyed. It will be born again and again. Know this for dead certain that you will not die. You will take a human birth again. Look within and see what you are. Are you a soul, a spirit, the Atma, or just a lump of flesh and blood? Do you think that the self within you, which speaks, understands, thinks, reflects on serving humanity, and expires after doing great deeds, is nothing beyond bones, flesh and blood? And do you think it will end with the end of the body? No, never. Your real self will never be destroyed, and you will never die." On hearing these words, which were uttered in inspired mood by the grace of God, Bhagat Singh stood there, mute, inwardly moved. For a moment, he lost his physical consciousness, and his mind soared high. Speechless, he bowed low, as if some unknown power had taken possession of him. For quite some time, he had remained absorbed in deep silence. I shook him with my hands, and he came and helped him stand. On his face, there was a strange glow. He came nearer me, and stretching his hands through the fence, he tried to touch my feet. I held his hands in mine and said that only the Guru's feet are worth worship and not human feet. I helped him to stand up, and when he had regained control over himself, he said, "Your words have pierced my heart like an arrow. My disbelief and faithlessness had now been terribly shaken. A magnetic influence has changed my inner being. Deep down in my heart, now I believe that I will not die, and this belief will remain unshaken in my mind, speech, and actions. I am that spirit that death will not destroy. I will not die. After giving up my body, I will be born again. Until my new birth, my Atma will remain in everlasting glory. When I die on the scaffold, I will die with great spiritual joy. I was brave through sheer willpower and asserted that I did not care for death. Within my heart was a deep hidden sorrow of complete extinction after death. Whenever this thought came to mind, there was darkness before my mind. The thought of being reduced to nothing, nothingness after death, created a painful void within my heart. Your words have brought a miraculous change in me. I can now see my future clearly in the light of new consciousness you have given me. The void created by the thoughts of extinction have disappeared. All doubts and delusions have now been dispelled. I have gained much more strength. I will now die with great moral and spiritual courage. Your exalted life has imparted to me the elixir of spirituality, and I feel its ennobling influence. I knew one thing about your life, that you always say what you have experienced, and your words and actions are always in unison. Not only am I convinced that I will not die, and that I am an immortal Atma, but I am convinced that there is God, and you have had a glimpse of Him. So now, you will be extremely pleased to learn that your dear Bhagat Singh is a believer in God, and he will not die in complete spiritual faith, that he will die in complete spiritual faith in Sikhism. And according to the Sikh terminology, I will not face death, but ascension. The word ascension is a beautiful word and reveals that the soul will rise above the body and go beyond death. After leaving my body, my spiritual will ascend heavenwards and will never die. It will be born again and will work for the ideal services of the motherland and the nation. How fruitful has been this meeting with you. After this significant end of our meeting, we greeted each other and parted in blissful silence. It was quite dark now. I was taken to the office from where I was given unconditional release and sent out of the prison under the cover of darkness. I boarded the train from Lahore railway station and came to Amritsar. From Amritsar railway station, I walked to the Golden Temple. A government servant had been given to me to help in my journey. He carried my bag and bedding and attended to all my needs. Near the clock tower, the servant waited with my luggage while I went inside and had a dip in the holy tank. It was 1 a.m. There I sat in peaceful solitude, meditating on his name. I enjoyed this solitude very much. After meditation, I had a mind to meet some friends, but on second thought, I wanted to keep this pilgrimage to Golden Temple a secret. I knew that if I met some friends, there would be unnecessary noise of jubilation about the release and good deal of trumpeting through my processions. It was tempted many times to go and meet Gyani Nar Singh and Gyani Harbhajan Singh in the Malwai Bunga, but I overcame the temptation. Up till daybreak, I enjoyed the divine kirtan of the Golden Temple. Then quietly, I slipped out of Amritsar and resumed my journey to Ludhiana. At Ludhiana, I tried to avoid being detected by anyone, but some friends recognized me and brought a car to take me to my village home of Narangwar. The news spread faster than I expected. At the village Delon, there were people waiting to welcome me. At Kila Raipur, there was a large gathering. Payasa Singh of my village had seen me as soon as I got into the car at Ludhiana, and he went on his bicycle a little ahead of my car and spread the news of my release in all of the villages. When he reached Narangwar, he saw a group of people sitting on a raised platform in the village gateway. My brother, Atma Singh, was amongst them. He asked them to give a loud cheer of the Khalsa greeting, and then he would give them the happy news. Everyone wanted him to release the news first. But when Payasa Singh insisted on having loud victory cry first, they gave a loud victory cry, and Prayasa Singh gave the news of my arrival. On hearing this happy news, there was a wave of joy throughout the village. In the zeal of giving a welcome, people ran to the canal road, and others waited on the main highway. On the main highway to Gujarat, some people made preparations for an elaborate welcome at home. Everyone tried to express his love and affection in his own way. Payatma Singh, on hearing the news, jumped from the top of the raised platform and ran home to give the news. The joy of my family on hearing the news knew no bounds. When we reached Kilaraipur, there was a large crowd waiting for us near the railway station, close to Pai Narayan Singh's shop. The people expressed their love and affection in so many ways that it is difficult to narrate them. From here we went to Narangwar. The car moved fast, raising dust all around. As the village neared, I felt quite a different world around me. Everything in the surrounding appeared to be strange. Even the speech of the people appeared to be strange. 16 years is a long period. I could not even recognize the surroundings of my own village. Many people were waiting opposite village Mahima Singhwa. At the Logarh well, when the car turned towards our village, I realized that Narangwal was close by. The car moved on blowing its horn. I could see the walls of the village, but everything was changed. Many new houses had been built this side of our house. When the car reached the village pond, I could see the Sangat coming nearer. Soon my brother, Atma Singh, stepped on the slowly moving car and held my arms in warm embrace. In front, the village people came singing the hymns. I sat down from the car with folded hands, stood face to face with the Sangat, and humbly greeted them. I joined the Sangat in their divine song, and we moved on towards our house. All the persons around me were new faces. I could only recognize by Surjan Singh, the Fidar, who was an old companion of our Jatha. We were overjoyed to see each other. Slowly, we moved on towards the house, performing the Kirtan. The whole village had gathered, and all around I could see men and women eagerly coming closer. Tears of joy rolled down the eyes of many who had seen me after such a long separation. A union after a long separation brings a strange and tearful joy sometimes. It was a strange experience. On meeting after such a long time, people could not control their tears. I myself could not control my tears, which flowed incessantly. At the three-way open space, the congregation sat for divine kirtan. Those playing on the musical instruments were new faces. They sang the divine songs, the shabds, with great enthusiasm. The roofs of the houses were covered with people as far as the eye could see. During the short journey, I was not feeling well, and now I was feeling a little feverish. The kirtan ended, and after the distribution of the prasad, I was taken home, which was close by. At home, a good many ladies had gathered together. A lady remarked, "Today your mother should have been living to see you back home." "She is here by my side," I replied. I saw my mother in her astral body, blessing me in love and joy. It is difficult to express all the wonderful things that happened that day. The joy of my wife Kartar Kaur and the rest of the family knew no bounds. She had seen these happy days after years of terrible suffering and sorrow. For 16 years, she had been patiently waiting every moment for my return. There was something in her which was constantly telling her that we would meet again. A day before my arrival, she had seen me back home in a dream, and she knew that this dream would come true. She was telling this dream to someone when my brother Atma Singh ran home and gave the news of my arrival. If she had not seen me in a dream, she might not have believed this news, and my sudden arrival might have given her an astounding surprise which might have had a strange effect on her. Well, it was that I saw in a dream. The dream assured me that he was coming. Otherwise, I would have become mad with joy on hearing the felicitations of his arrival. So now she received the news from all sides. There was the same happy atmosphere of people gathering and visitors coming, which existed 16 years ago. Now there was a greater joy and rush than ever before. There were times when she experienced smitting loneliness in the house. Now the house and courtyard were 10 times more blessed than ever before. Her sufferings of many years now ended. Suffering, sorrow and suffering are dispels. There is joy and happiness at home by his grace. Thus ends the briefly narrated story of my 16 years of life in prison. Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh.